And it's always a schuss to be here. I want to thank the Schreiers and Sarit. You thank Eliza also? Thank Eliza. And the entire Schreier Mishpacha for always opening up their bias for us. Nemirat Hashem, each and every one of us. Each and every one of us should have a night of Ruchnias, a night of Chizuk. It should be a big schuss for the entire Mishpacha Bez Hashem. You know, Shavuos was already a few days ago, so some of us are past that. But in reality, we're still living in Shavuos. Even lahalacha, I'm not just saying that in a sense of always we're supposed to try to carry our Yomim Tovim with us, and not just be a one-day excitement. Those are days that are supposed to inspire us, to change us, to keep with us. But the emes is, even b'halacha, it's still Shavuos. So you're thinking, maybe I'm drunk tonight, what's going on, what I mean, Shavuos is not Shavuos. The emes is, it's still Shavuos. Let me explain. There's something called Tashlumin of Shavuos. Tashlumin means, in English, to pay back. What does that mean? We know the concept of Tashlumin, maybe you're familiar with when it comes to tefillah, when it comes to davening, that if you miss a davening, you miss Shachris, completely, and you're bonus, you weren't feeling well, you couldn't do it. So you could daven two Shmon Esreis by Mincha. And that's called Tashlumin, making it up, paying it back. That concept initially is learned out from Karbanos, actually. And the halacha is that if you didn't bring the Karbanos on Shavuos, you have an entire week, Tashlumin, to make that up. And therefore we're still in that time, we're still within that week. And that's why, by the way, during this week, many have a minog not to say Tachnun. Still today, tomorrow, still not to say Tachnun, because we're still living Shavuos in a certain sense. I saw one day from the Chok Yaakov that if you didn't for some reason say Shachiyanu on Shavuos, during this entire week of Tashlumin, you could still make Shachiyanu on Shavuos. So that tells you we're still deeply connected to Shavuos. If I can make today Shachiyanu on Shavuos, I must still be living Shavuos. So it doesn't mean we're going to stay up all night tonight. And it doesn't mean we have to have cheesecake, although that's never a bad thing. If you want to have cheesecake, you have some cheesecake still? Of course. So, okay. Anyone who wants, the Shriers are offering cheesecake.
It's really good.
But we could live with Shavuos. And that tells us we're still in Shavuos. But the emphasis is we have to learn how to take Shavuos into the year. You know, I was reading a story recently in a sefer. It's called, the sefer is called Sheifas. Sheifas is yearning. The story was about Rav Shalom Shadran. It really wasn't about him. It was his Rebbe. Rav Shalom Shadran, who was the Maggid of Yerushalayim. I'm sure many of us have heard of Rav Shalom Shadran. Well, Rav Pesach Kron, the famous storyteller and Bal Darshan. Well, all of his books are called The Maggid Speaks, The Maggid This, The Maggid That, right? That's because of Rav Shalom Shadran. As a young boy, when Rav Shalom Shadran used to come to America, he used to stay in his parents' house. And he got to know Rav Shalom Shadran very well. The Maggid of Yerushalayim. Excuse me. So Rav Shalom Shadran, one time, he woke up very early one morning to daven Vasikin, daven Nate, daven with sunrise. And then he sat and learned. And when he was learning, he had a big question. He didn't understand Pshat in a Gemara and something he was learning he didn't know. So he decided he wants to go to his Rebbe to ask him Pshat in the what the answer to the question is. Now it was early in the morning. He davened with sunrise, it was early in the morning, but he thought his Rebbe's probably also davened very early. So he went to his Rebbe's house, the Chabina Rebbe, and he knocks on his door. He knocked very lightly, just in case someone was sleeping, not to wake them up. And right away the Rebbe enters the door, and the Rebbe was Mamish, in the midst of learning, you can see tons of svarim open on his desk, sitting and learning. Oh, Shalom, thank you for coming, what's going on? And he says to him, well, I was learning this sugya, and I had this question, it was an intricate question to get into it, and the Rebbe gives it this profound answer. And then the Rebbe says to him, but Shalom, I don't understand. Why did you come to me so late at night? You're willing to come to me so late at night. And Rav Shalom understood that his Rebbe has been sitting and learning all night long. And he didn't even realize it was the morning. He thought it's late at night. He already Rav Shalom went to sleep, woke up, davened, and now was learning. His Rebbe was learning all night long and got so lost in his learning that he didn't realize it's time to daven yet. And he says, why'd you come to me late at night? So some Yidden that Kamamish live Shavuos all year long, in a sense. One night a year, some of us stay up all night. Some Yidden feel that always. And again, not that it's a good thing to stay up all night too often. We have to have Seder, we have to have Seder in our lives and do things in a normal way. But meaning, what idea, what is it? You know, I said this over on Shavuos night. I was thinking about it, this whole concept of staying up all night Shavuos night. It's very strange in a sense, even though we know the reasonings, and not even going to get back into it again. I was thinking about it, I remember when I was dating my wife. Let's go back a few years ago. And this was way before we had smartphones, before we even had cell phones, most people. And I lived in Cedars. I grew up in Cedars. My wife grew up in Brooklyn. And when we were together at night, I remember at night literally staying on the phone, talking during the phone until it was light outside. Literally till it was light outside. Till we'd hear the birds chirping and say, okay, we got to go to sleep, you know, because got to get a couple hours of sleep before the next day. Like sometimes it would be literally light outside. What was that? I mean, it was stupid. Don't get me wrong. But when you're in love, you do crazy things. When you're in love, you do crazy things. And therefore, the idea of staying up all night with Torah was, even if we don't feel it, and we wouldn't do that naturally, although Rav Shalom Shadran's Rebbe did it, you see, is to try to be mechazik ourselves, that's what each and every one of us should feel for the Rebbeinu Shalom. And I don't mean for each and every one of you, it has to be in learning, but it could be in davening, and in our midos, and in the way we keep Shabbos. I'm crazy for the Rebbeinu Shalom, I'll do crazy things. And they may not make sense, and we don't even understand sometimes why we're doing them. We don't even understand sometimes why we're doing them. But we know it's for the Eibishter. And therefore it's Emes. There's nothing, we don't even think twice about it. And we need to keep that with us. We need to keep that excitement with us. We need to keep the feelings of Shavuos with us. And today, no better time to talk about it, because we're a few days removed. And maybe it's faded a little bit. But as we said in the opening of this year, we're still in Shavuos. We're still in the Tashlumen of Shavuos. We have to be mechazik ourselves in this. You know, there's Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Chavav, and it says when the Yidden were Ola Regel, imagine what it was. You know what it was? Yantiv, and every Jew would go to Yerushalayim, Eretz Kodesh. Everyone in this room, I'm sure we've all spent Yom Tovim in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. How beautiful is Yantiv? Yantiv in Yerushalayim. There's nothing like Yom Tov in Yerushalayim. Yom Tov, I'm sure we all have beautiful Yom Tov in here. I had a beautiful Shavuos. It was incredible. It was a beautiful time with the Mishpacha and Lel Shavuos, and everything was incredible. But you know what? Yom Tov in Yerushalayim, Sukkot in Yerushalayim, Pesach in Yerushalayim, Shavuos in Yerushalayim. Nothing like it. And the whole world would be Ola Regel. And you know what the Gemara says? In Chagiga Chavav, it says when they were Ola Regel, so they took, what they would do was they raised up the shulchan. The shulchan is the table with the lechem upon him, the loaves of bread, right? They'd lift it up, and they'd show all of Klal Yisrael the amazing miracle, the amazing nes, that the loaves of bread, which would go on the shulchan at the beginning of the week, and by the end of the week, they still were completely fresh. It was an amazing nes. This is way before preservatives. It wasn't like Zamex rolls that last forever, you know? They didn't have all the preservatives that we have today. And somehow it stayed fresh the entire week. And this was the miracle they showed Klal Yisrael. It's Gemara in Chagiga. There's a Mishnah in Avos. Some of you, I'm sure, learned Avos over Sfiras HaOmer. There's a Mishnah in Avos that says there were many miracles in Beis HaMikdash. Anyone know how many the Mishnah says? What'd you say? 10. Is that what you said? That's what I thought you said. That's why were you afraid to say it again? I thought that I heard that. That's why I wouldn't call you out if I didn't think I heard it right. So The Mishnah Novo says in the fifth parak that there were 10 miracles, 10 great miracles. You know, even if it was pouring rain, the fire in the Mizbeach would never go out. That's crazy. That's awesome. The smoke would rise straight up to Shemayim, and even if it was a crazy wind, it would go straight through the wind. It wouldn't, you know how easy it is to blow smoke? Try blowing the smoke. You blow it, it goes all over the place. Straight up, even, doesn't matter. Crazy miracles. Nizim Gluyim. The one miracle they wanted to show Klal Yisrael Zoy L'Regel was the Shulchan and the Lechem upon him. Why is this so important? Because what was the message behind that miracle? The message behind that miracle is, don't become stale. Stay fresh. Stay excited. That's what the message is. This bread that was on the Mizbeach, it's on the Shulchan, it's in Beis HaMikdash, it never goes stale. If that same bread was in your house, it would go stale. It was a miracle. But so too, when we're going to leave, we were Oyla Regel, and we have this Chizik of Yontiv that every one of us hopefully got and received to know how our relationship should be crazy with the Rabbanu Shalom. Stay fresh in that. Stay excited in that. And that's what each and every one of us need. Now how could we have it? So I'm going to share something with you. Some got nervous when they saw this title. Once Arid asked me for a title for the shiur, so I put something about the embassy move, so some people thought we're going to have a political shiur here tonight. You know, maybe Chvesnish, Tzionim against Naturi Karta, something like that. I don't know what people thought would happen. I'm not sure. Those of you who know me by now know that I'm not a political person anyway. I just love Yidden, I love Eretz Yisrael, love Tyra. It stops there, pretty much. That's the extent of my politics. But the MS is, it was a few days before Shavuos, mamish a few days before Shavuos, that we had this incredible, and I'll call it a miracle in a sense, of the embassy of the United States of America, where we happen to live for now. Again, hopefully not our home, but the place that we're residing right now, which is seemingly the greatest country in the world and the greatest supporter of Israel in the world, specifically with our government today, and the most important country in the world for Israel to have at its side, no question. And you have this Donald Trump with his frum grandchildren moving the embassy to Yerushalayim Eretz Kodesh to show the support that he has, and our country now has, for Eretz Yisrael. And the support to understand the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. Okay, I don't know if he understands the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, but the importance of Yerushalayim for sure. The Chashivas of Yerushalayim. And that's something that's not small, not little. And I'm sure many of us watched some of it, or all of it, and the speeches, and in our community specifically, it's exciting because so many individuals in our community that a lot of us have connections to are so involved, which is something incredible, whether it's David Friedman or Ari Lightstone or even a Jared Kushner who's connected to, you know, his brother-in-law was one of my closest friends growing up. It's not, you know, it's the connections are who grew up right here in Lawrence are crazy. So we feel it a little bit more, but every Yid had to feel that. And regardless of any political views, it shows there's something happening in Eretz Yisrael and in Yerushalayim that's positive, that's amazing, that's great. But what was the significance that this happened days before Shavuos? Because there had to be. This was our achana for Shavuos. We weren't sitting Shlosh Shemei Hagbalah thinking about being Pirish from materialism like Klal Yisrael did. We were celebrating the Jerusalem embassy. That's what Klal Yisrael was doing. That's what the news was about, and that, again, and it's important to recognize there was something great in that. But there's no question, everything Hashgacha Prat is, that the Rebbeinu Shem wanted that to be our achana for Shavuos. That should be our preparation for Shavuos. Did you think about it a little bit? Why? So I want to share what I believe. Before we get there, we have to remind ourselves. Not that we need this reminder, but I was, listen, as I said, I reside here with all of you, but my heart, Libi B'Mizrach, and I need the reminder, I need to talk about Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim as much as I can, because I love it, and I miss it, even not being there for a few months. Maybe I got a book, I could take a go for a day or two. Okay. You're laughing. I'm not joking. That wasn't a joke. That was serious, actually. I got to see. Maybe. It's hard to stay away. It should be hard to stay away. How can you stay away? It's just money. What do we have money for? That's what money is for. People get so crazy. Oh, it's so expensive to go to Israel. If we stopped and thought what we spend money on and what we, you know, that's what money is for, to go get ruchnius and be home and be where we're supposed to be and remind ourselves who we're supposed to be. All right, who's in the little mission to Yerushalayim for a few days? No? Okay, good. Achana for your chasana. What better achana for your chasana? Your parents will kill you. But okay. Anyways, Lamaisa, you're just a little too close. But I tried to get your brother, and he wouldn't even yes. Right before his chasana. Hashem Yerachim. He made a big mistake. Anyways. So why the embassy? So let's just talk for a moment about Eretz Yisrael and what Yerushalayim is. You know, there's a Gemara in Tainis Dav Lamina Beveis says Kol Hamis Avel Al Yerushalayim. Anyone who mourns Yerushalayim, as we do specifically in the summer during the 3 weeks, 9 days Tisha B'Av, we should not have to do that this year. It should be a Yontif Bez Hashem. Hopefully, last year was the final time we ever sat on the ground. But in certain sense, there are Yidden who do that every single day and say Tikkun Chatzos and sit on the floor every night mourning Yerushalayim. And it says, "Call Mitzav Yerushalayim Zocha Veroa B'Simchasa." Anyone who mourns Yerushalayim, Zocha Veroa B'Simchasa, merits and sees its joy. Those of you in this room who are probably better at diktik than me, what's the question on this line? Is that written properly? Call Mitzav Yerushalayim. Anyone who mourns Yerushalayim, Zocha Veroa B'Simchasa, merits and sees its simcha. What should it say? What should it say? Will, thank you. Kol ha-mis'av l'shalayim yizkev yireh. Meaning, it's a cause and effect. If you mourn, the reward will be, you will be zoche, you will merit, and you will see its joy. I've mourned Yerushalayim last Tisha B'Av, and nothing changed yet. It hopefully, yizkev will be zoche because of that. But what do you mean zoche right now? Zocha v'roa means right now. If you mourn Yerushalayim, right now you're going to feel simcha. Right now I'm going to feel simcha because I'm mourning Yerushalayim. Right now I'm crying my eyes out because there's a mosque on top of the holiest place in the world. And I'm not even allowed to daven there. So, zocha v'roa right now? So you have to understand, there's a medrash in Bereishis Rabbah that says as follows. Listen to this. We know that Yosef HaTzadik is taken from Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu is told that Yosef HaTzadik is dead. That's what the brothers told Yaakov Avinu. His favorite son from his favorite wife is dead. And now there's a beautiful bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to every person in this world, and none of us should need this bracha ever. But if lo aleinu someone passes away, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a bracha to be able to have a nechama, to be able to be comforted, to be able to move on with life, to be able to not be frozen in time and stop living, but continue on through that tragedy. And we've all seen that maybe with our parents or grandparents, and hopefully none of us in this room should ever know and need that bracha. But the pasuk says, "Vayagavinu, vayimoein lisnachem." He refused to be consoled. He refused to be comforted. Doesn't seem like such a tzaddik. You're a tzaddik, Baruch Dynamis. Be comforted. Why are you mourning for so many years? So the Medrash says, what's the obvious answer? What's the answer? Why did Yaakov mourn for 20 years? Why was he never comforted and consoled? Why was this bracha not chal on him? Because Yosef was not dead. Yosef was alive. You only could gain nechama. And when you need that nechama to move on, because the person's no longer here, but maybe he was deep in his self, somewhere in his unconscious state of mind, or whatever it was, he knew deep down, or the Rebbe didn't give him that ruchnizik bracha, because Yosef was still alive. So for 20 years, somewhere within him, he was yearning to be connected to Yosef, because Yosef was there. He didn't give up hope, because there wasn't what to give up on. There was no need for nechama. And they're eventually reunited. in that amazing emotional moment, as we all know. So what do we see? When something's still here, we don't stop mourning. We don't give up. We're never comforted or consoled. Kol ha-mis'avel al Yerushalayim. Anyone who mourns Yerushalayim, as we are doing after close to 2,000 years, year in and year out, nachat Tisha B'Av, nachat Tisha B'Av, day in and day out, v'lu Yerushalayim irecha, semach lev avdecha, v'nei Yerushalayim ir kodesh. Why haven't we just thrown in the towel and say, okay, move on? It's all good. I'm okay with what I got. God took away Beis HaMikdash. There'll be a mosque there. Okay, we got a kaitel. You know what the answer is? Because we know deep down, by Yimayin, we're going to refuse to have this Nechama, because the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, and specifically the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, is still there. It's still there, and it's still very real. And therefore, why am I going to be comforted? I'm not giving up, the way Yaakov didn't give up. And each and every one of us that have spent time in Yerushalayim know and feel this. You don't have to, you don't have to just say it. It's tangible. We know how we feel when we're there. We know how we're uplifted when we're there. I think I've shared with some of the chevra before. I had a friend who now lives in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Eretz Kodesh. When he was younger, and Baruch Hashem, he had the monetary means to do this, whenever he had a very serious decision in life, what college to go to, how to spend the summer, obviously, before he got married, different big decisions, he'd first fly to Eretz Yisrael, spend 2 or 3 days there, and then he'd make his decision. Because he said, I don't have clarity the way I'm supposed to when I'm not in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim Eretz Kodesh. But when I'm there, I have complete clarity. That's how I have to make my decisions in life. You want to hear something amazing? Rav Mordechai Gifter, that's how was the Rashiv of Tells in Cleveland. I'll read you just a quick story. When the Gifters returned from Eretz Yisrael to Cleveland, they decided to live in an apartment in the yeshiva dormitory instead of the house they'd left 2 years earlier. They went to Eretz Yisrael for a while, they came back, lived in a little apartment in the dormitory. Rav Gifter said, I cannot live in a permanent home anymore in Chutz La'aretz. I just can't. He truly wanted to be in Eretz Yisrael, but he wasn't able till Mashiach came. He had to take care of the yeshiva. In extraordinary self-sacrifice, the Rebbetzin and him did as he wanted and lived in a little apartment in the dormitory. Libi b'mizrach. There was once a chasana where Rav Hutner was there. And they were at the chasana, and after the chuppah, like always, they wanted to daven ma'ariv. Right? You guys always see all the men getting together, daven ma'ariv in the chuppah room. But there was always a handle, you know, which way you're supposed to face. And often, if you look around, you'll see some minyanim facing one way, some minyanim facing another way. Okay, so today we have an iPhone and you have a compass, so you could pretty much figure out where's Mizrach. Time of Hutner, you didn't have an iPhone, you didn't, nobody carried around compasses with them, you know, like a wilderness man, I don't know, chvesnish. So what did Hutner say? It's easy. Let's just simply turn our bodies until we feel our heart starting to beat faster. And we know that's the way to Mizrach. That's the way to Yerushalayim. And he meant it. He felt it. And that Kedusha is still here. And we see that. And we see that on some level, the American government understood that. Putting the embassy there right before Shavuos. But what does that mean for us? I'm just starting to build. Listen to this, Chevra. You know, we've spoken before many times at this table that the essence, the mahus of anything can be seen in its name. If we deeply understood our names, we'd understand our kochos, our midos, what we're capable of. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Zayin says, Shema Garam, our name has an effect and causes things to happen. So if we want to understand the essence of Yerushalayim, we have to understand its name. I'm so excited. This is a big tire. You ready for a big tire? This came to me in my hachanas for Shavuos, this Torah, based on this embassy move. So this is a medrash. Where's the name Yerushalayim come from? A Jerusalem. What's the source? I mean, we see it throughout the Torah, but what's the source? Who named it? Where does it come from? What do you want to say? You know the medrash? What? Not what the Medrash says. I don't know. Maybe it's something different. You'll show me. This is the Medrash. The Medrash says as follows in Bereishis Rabbah. The first Avram Avinu, well, not first, really said, but Avram Avinu named Yerushalayim Yireh, Yud Resh Aleph Hey. Yireh. Shem, the son of Noach, was known as Malki Tzedek. He named it Sholem. Yireh, Hashem Yireh, Hashem sees this place, and always Sholem, it's complete, it's perfect. Two separate names. Come Zei Bishter, listen to the Medrash. The Rabbi Nishalayim, and he's thinking, what should we call Yerushalayim? Should, like Avram Yireh, or like Shem, who are both Sadiqim. He says, if we call like Avram, it's not nice to Shem. If we call it like Shame, it's not like the Avram. So you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did? He took the two names and he was mistarif, he joined them together. Yerushalayim. The Aleph and Hey of Yireh is together. Gematria Aleph and Hey is 5 and 1 is 6. So he turned that into a Vav. Yud Reish Vav. And most often in Tanakh, it's Yerushalayim, you see as Yerushalayim without the extra Yud at the end. So that was the origin of the name Yerushalayim. In other words, what? The very essence of the name Yerushalayim is what? Is Achdus. Is unity. And that's what Yerushalayim stands for. And on a simple level, we all understand that. As unity between Klal Yisrael, which is so important. And those of us that have had the zchus to be at the Kaisel El Shabbos, and we see at the Kaisel Chassidim, and Kippas Ruga, and guys in the Chveses, the cardboard yarmulkes, you know, and soldiers, and all together, sometimes in circles, singing and dancing. The most beautiful thing in the world, the Achdus of Yerushalayim, right? Yir Shechubra LeYachtov, David Melech says. Yir Shechubra LeYachtov, the city that brings us together. But I want to share something that came to me this year that I think is another way of understanding the Achdus of Klal Yisrael. The Achdus of Yerushalayim. Listen closely. And this is why I think Yerushalayim was so strong in the news leading up to Shavuos. And how we have to walk away from Shavuos. Listen. Each and every one of us, on our own levels, have a constant battle within ourselves. We have our physical guf, our physical body, that has desires towards materialism, towards physical desires, towards temptations, laziness, whatever it might be. And then we have our neshama, we have our soul. And our soul wants only ruchnius, and only closest to Hashem. Our soul wants mamish, to be learning and davening, keeping every mitzvah. But each and every one of us on different levels have that battle within us, have that competition within us. So what's the avodah of every single one of us? The avodah of every single one of us, like we daven, is V'yached levavenu la'ava l'irashemecha. V'yached levavenu. To bring our hearts together as one. To not have that battle, but be one in our service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be kula ruchni. Not constantly swaying between our guf and our neshama in competition. V'yached levavenu, be one. Have achdus within ourselves. V'yached levavenu. The Gemara in Ksuvis Daf Kuf Yudah Mebeis says, anyone who lives in Chol Tzartz, called Darba Chutzlartz, k'mi she'ein lo eloka. It's like we don't have a God. Each and every one of us. Now what does that mean? You can't do mitzvahs here, you can. You can't be a tzaddikas here, you can. You can't daven here, you can. It's kamish, ein lo'alka, because it's much harder to have that oneness. We struggle, we have our ups and downs, our guf, our neshama. Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is all about achdus of Avram and Shem. But not that doesn't just mean achdus between different segments of Klal Yisrael. I believe deeply that means achdus within ourselves. V'yachid levaveinu. And you have that koach in Yerushalayim. Yerushachubra layachdav, a city that brings it all together. Who in this room hasn't felt that? Who in this room hasn't felt oneness of being in Yerushalayim and knowing who you want to be and who you should be and be able to live up to it? And not have to struggle in the ways that we do in a makom kamisha ein lo aloka. Sometimes I have talmidim when I'm in Eretz Yisrael earlier in the year, Yom Kippur time, whatever, and they're lamenting to me how difficult the year is so far, and they're not feeling anything, and they're not feeling close to Hashem. And often they have different things they want to talk about. Often I don't even get involved in the details. I say, just give more time to staying in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. Give it a few more months. You'll see it will happen. Don't worry. Stick with the program. Learn, daven, get with the program of the yeshiva. It will have its effect on you. By default, it's going to happen. And when I get back January, it's like guy after guy, it's besimcha rabba, like mamish flying. And you all felt this the same way. So that's why I deeply believe that there was such emphasis of the embassy move to Yerushalayim right before Shavuos. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted Yerushalayim to be in our hearts before Shavuos, because Shavuos is a zman of Kabbalah and Torah. Shavuos is the time of our dedication to Torah mitzvahs, and wanted to remind us v'yachid levaveinu, just like Yerushalayim is. Wanted to remind us who we should be. Wanted to remind us who we should live up to. But I know some of you are thinking, Shkoyach Rebbe, that's very beautiful, nice Torahs, we could talk. L'mayis, that works a lot better. It's a much better Torah if we're in Yerushalayim. Like, we don't have that environment. We don't have that Kedusha. We're going to battle. So Shkoyach, to get a little chizik of Yerushalayim, the embassy move, Shvu is okay, but it fades. And I don't have that consistency that I could have when I'm in Eretz Yisrael, and that koach that we're talking about tonight. I'm living in the place where it's like we have no God, as is the Gemara and Ksuvis. I'm living in that place. And yeah, I hope to one day move and get to Eretz Yisrael, but I doubt it's going to be any time in the near future. So what could we do to get this chizik and to be reminded of this? So I think the answer lies in a Torah I think we once shared before, but it's worth repeating. And I think it's so connected to the Shavuos and to Yimei Tashlumin and what we need right now as well. You know, Rav Tzadok explains, if you want to understand the depth of anything, you have to look at its origin at the first place where it all began. So when we talk Shavuos, we talk about Har Sinai. When we talk about Kabbalah Torah, we talk about receiving the Torah on Har Sinai. When's the first time we have Har Sinai in the Torah? It wasn't by Kabbalah Torah. It was years earlier. By what? Kizitzchak's Harabayas. But there are connections between the two. You know, you're saying something deep, but we're not going to go there. But the place we know of it in the Torah is where, when Moshe Rabbeinu went by the burning bush. The burning bush was by Har Sinai. That's the initial makom, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to serve me on this mountain, that's why I'm going to take you out of Eretz Yisrael, of Mitzrayim. So it has to be that first is telling us a lot about Kabbalah Torah as well. So what are the very first words spoken to Moshe Rabbeinu in that place? And that's a chizik, I think, for each and every one of us today. Moshe Rabbeinu is standing there, and he sees this crazy image of a burning bush. You know what he says? HaKadosh Baruch Hu to him, his first words to Moshe, these are his first words to Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest of Nevi'im of all time. The first words are, Al tikrav halom, don't come any closer. And all of the Mepharshim explain, because it's too holy for you to be where I am. It's too holy for you, you can't come in here. You can't come right any closer. However, shal na'lecha mi'al raglecha, take off your shoes, take your shoes off, Moses. My brother's father-in-law has a song about that. That's why. Soul Farm. See, Lansbaum, Chavir, no. Anyways, all right. Take your shoes off, Moses. Shalom Aleichem Erek Lecha. Ki Amokom Asheter Omed Shom, the place that you're standing, Admas Kodesh. It's holy ground. What's up? Wait. Listen to what the Rabbanu Shom says to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, don't come any closer because where I am is holy. Too holy for you. But take your shoes off because where you are is holy. Which one is it? Is it holy where God is by the burning bush? Is it holy where Moshe is standing? What's going on? So comes the Hail of the Chavetz Chaim. The Hail of the Chavetz Chaim says as follows. He says, there surely are places that are inherently full of Kedusha, inherently full of tremendous holiness that could be a tremendous inspiration, a tremendous chizik of Yachid Levavenu. And Yerushalayim HaKodesh for sure is that. And sometimes it's just being in shul. And that's the representation of the burning bush, which is an inherent Kedusha of God. But each and every one of us have to realize it's up to us to as well make HaMokom Asher Atar Omed Shom Admas Kodeshim. Wherever you're standing could be holy. Wherever you're standing can be holy. And it's up to you to make that holiness. And the Yachel Vavenu. And get the inspiration from times that you have the ability to be in the ultimate inherent holiness. And whether that's a place or a time. Whether that's your Shlayim Er Kodesh, or whether that's living through a Yontav of Shavuos, as we're still living through right now in this week. But walk away and say, I'm going to make wherever I am holy. And walk away and say, I'm going to be Yachel Levenu. And walk away and be, I'm going to be your Shalmi Dikayid, whether in Eretz Yisrael, whether I'm in Woodmere, New York. Because I'm going to live yet with that oneness in my heart. And oneness in who I am. And there's one thing I want to leave you with. And it's based on a very famous Torah in this week's Parsha. Parsha Snussel, a little bit from this week's Parsha. We have a very famous Rashi that talks about the juxtaposition of the parasha of the sota, the woman who was allegedly cheating on her husband has to drink the sota water, and the nazir is right after it, a person who becomes a nazir, doesn't cut their hair, doesn't drink wine. And Rashi asks, why are these connected? Laman nismecha, why right after sota is nazir? What do they have to do with each other? So there Rashi says, anyone call it roa sota bekaklua, anyone who sees a sota, imagine you saw a sota and her stomach blow up, so you're thinking to yourself, I don't want that to ever happen to me. I don't want to ever be in that situation. Why do some people that happens to them, why would they cheat on their husband? Maybe they were under the influence, not thinking clearly, and they were drunk. Yazer etzma b'yayin, I'll become a nazir, to ensure that that can never happen to me. That's what Rashi says. So years ago, I heard this originally from Rav Meir Twersky, 18 years ago, in Eretz Yisrael, in Efrat, on Hillel Shabbos, in Ensi Zwekolel, my first year married. And he asked, I don't understand. That should be the last person that needs to become a Nazir. If you were there, and you were inspired, and you saw this woman's stomach blow up, you're going to then go and even have the ability to cheat? Are you crazy? You don't need to take any Gedarim. You don't need to become a Nazir. You have all the inspiration in the world. You saw it with your own eyes. So he explained, as we all know, that every moment inspiration is there one moment and gone the next. In the moment it feels so real and we feel alive and I'm going to live like this always. And by the next morning, oh, did I even go there? Did that even happen? By 2 days later, it's definitely like it never happened. Yom Kippur, it's incredible, it's wonderful, I'm there, I'm one with God. 2 days later, I'm struggling even to daven. What's the one way to ensure that that moment of inspiration stays with me? I have to take a Kabbalah. I have to accept upon myself something. So this man or woman who saw this sota blow up says, in this moment when I'm inspired, I'm becoming a Nazir. You know what that does when you take a Kabbalah? First of all, you allow the moment of inspiration to grow with it, to change because of it. But initially, you're always reconnected to that moment of inspiration through the change. I'm living with that moment forever through the changes that I've made. And that's something incredible. We're leaving Shavuos. We didn't leave yet, we're saying, but we're leaving Shavuos and the inspiration of Shavuos and the Achil of Aveinu. Each and every one of us has to take some sort of Kabbalah, some acceptance of how I'm going to be oneness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether it's learning a little bit more extra, whether it's in my davening, whether it's in the way I dress, whether it's whatever area, to each their own, but one Kabbalah that I'm walking away to change from the Shavuos, to keep Shavuos with me in that change. To show Hashem v'yachil levenu. This week, I was talking to a young man, a close talmid of mine, who's a mamish, a very serious ben Torah today, incredible Eved Hashem, and we were talking, and he told me, you know how he was able to, because in high school he wasn't close to what he is today, in his learning for sure, not in his davening. He was always a big mensch, and always about midos, but he was telling me about a conversation he had with an individual before his first year learning in Eretz Yisrael, and how he took that conversation so hard, and took a Kabbalah, accepted upon himself something because of it, and it literally changed his entire life and because of who he is today. One Kabbalah, you have no idea what it could do. It continues that moment forever. It changes me. And then again, each inspirational moment, each inspirational day, you take upon a little something else. That all adds up to something incredible. Every single one of us needs to walk away Shavuos and stay connected to Shavuos. Just like we learned this Nazir, become a Nazir. I don't mean literally become a Nazir. Be that person who takes upon themselves something. And think about Du Cheshbon HaNefesh tonight at some point. What am I going to do? And something small, something doable, manageable. The Shavuos is going to live on. V'yachel levavenu. I'm going to be Yerushalmi D'Gayid. I was reminded by the Rabbon Shalom what Eretz Yisrael is. I was reminded by the Rabbon Shalom what Eretz Yisrael is. And I'm reminded by the Chavetz Chaim, that's his Torah. I can make it here as well. In my life. Let's take some Kabbalah to keep Shavuos with us. We should be Zoicha to look back in months from now and say, Shavuos has changed me. I'm a different person. Be Zoicha to always grow. Be Zoicha to be Yachil Veino, to be one. Because let me tell you something, that's when you'll be ultimately B'Simcha. Obviously, that's what we want to do for the Ravon Shalom. But so much of the lacking of Simcha that we have in our lives is because I don't feel that oneness. Mr. Shem, we should all feel that oneness. Always have Simcha. Always be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kabbalah HaTorah is the ultimate connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam, the ultimate Gilui Shechina, revelation of Hashem. We should be zoich to that Gilui again with the Gula Shleima B'mehir V'yameinu. Everyone have a beautiful Eilu G'Shabbos Kodesh.